5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
All right, enough, enough. I don't want Marco Rubio to start picketing the place. They are raising the flag of the United States of America at the newly reopened U.S. Embassy in Havana, Cuba, formally reestablishing relationships between us and our nearest neighbor, Cuba, just 90 miles away. Secretary of State John Kerry is there at the reopening ceremony. And there'll be plenty of Cuban dignitaries. I don't know if Fidel will make it. I assume Raul will be there. Any news on that?
I have not seen anything that Fidel is going to be there, but I think Raul is supposed to be there.
All right, and they are reopening the embassy of the United States. Very controversial, as you know, although I totally support it. But that's not the landmark that I want to note and commemorate today. Today is the anniversary of the end of the war we thought that would end all wars. And this day, exactly 70 years ago, after the deaths of tens of millions, including the attempted genocide of the Jewish race by the Nazis, the destruction of large swaths of Europe, Asia, after two atomic bombs dropped on Nagasaki, Hiroshima, the Japanese government on this day finally surrendered unconditionally, ending the Second World War. Unfortunately, as everyone knows too well, all too well, it was not the end of all war, just the end of the last war that we really won. That led to the Cold War, it led to Korea, Vietnam. Now it's all about ISIS and talk of reengaging in Iraq and Syria, even as we still fight the Taliban and Al-Qaeda and so forth in Afghanistan. But these are not the wars. Even this, I want to commemorate, obviously, this profoundly important anniversary. But what I really want to talk about are the political wars that are raging right now in this country specifically. And this, I think, will be the controversial part. As you listen, I want you to get engaged here. Specifically, what I want to talk about is my theory that the Republicans are being suckered into refighting the war on women. The war on women. Remember that one? Just when the party promised that this time would be different, that this time the focus would not be on these incendiary social issues, but rather on the economy, on national security, on political competence, on personal character. My argument to you this morning is how my theory that the Planned Parenthood scandal, this awful scandal involving Planned Parenthood and these secret videos, I think this scandal is suckering the Republican Party into a fight that it cannot win. You know, you have some conspiracy theorists, some at my own network, who insist that Donald Trump isn't a real candidate, for example, that he's a stealth stalking horse for Hillary Clinton, encouraged by the Secretary of State, her husband, the former President Bill Clinton, to run so that Trump would disrupt and decay the Republican field. I mean, it's a conspiracy theory. I don't buy it, but That's one theory that's out there, that Trump is a stalking horse for Hillary Clinton. I say that this entire Planned Parenthood fetal tissue scandal might as well be a stalking horse designed to destroy the GOP's chances of ever getting the woman's vote. I mean, I get it. I get it that this issue is deeply felt by the sincerely religious conservative base of the Republican Party. But ladies and gentlemen, survey after survey shows broad support for a woman's right to choose whether to keep her baby or terminate her own pregnancy. Women don't want the state to make that decision. They want the pregnant woman to make the decision within the limitations spelled out in the Supreme Court decision Roe v. Wade, which is the law of the land. Yesterday, my Fox colleagues on The Five insisted that the revulsion, the absolute revulsion that all of us feel when we see those undercover videos showing that callous disregard for the humanity of aborted fetuses by the Planned Parenthood staffers, my colleagues insist that the controversy is about that video, that process, that insensitivity, that it's not about abortion. My friends say that the disgust over the obscenity of Planned Parenthood's sales of the fetal body parts, as if they were selling sausages or hubcaps, that that's why they're so angry. I strongly disagree with them on last night's edition of
Strongly disagreed?
It was a strong, I strongly disagreed.
I think I've seen moments on The Five with you where they've really gone after you, the other four. But last night was like no other night that I've seen on The Five. I mean, I was really, I'm not kidding, I was ready for chairs to start flying because it was so intense. Your veins were popping out of your head, but so was everybody else's veins popping out of their head. So passionate. It made great TV, but I always wonder sort of what happens afterwards when the camera goes off. Like, are you still friendly with these guys?
All right, let's listen.
The abortion part of Planned Parenthood is bad. You got to stop them. Let them reopen as Planned Parenthood 2 and don't provide the services and then give them
taxpayer
money. That's
your opinion, dude. The Planned Parenthood is bad because you're against abortion. You said it was a life-altering experience.
Can you not do this again?
You said it was a life-altering experience.
Can you not do this again today?
It's not a life-altering experience.
I'm not commenting on abortion.
You are talking about abortion.
No, I'm not. I'm commenting on selling body
parts. So what is a good abortion to you?
You know the difference between what Planned Parenthood
is? What is a good abortion? Eric, what is it?
A good abortion is saves the mother's life.
You know what a good abortion is? A good abortion is in a clean place where the woman's health is protected, as opposed to a back alley where the woman dies with some butcher cutting her to pieces. Why do you think we got this?
I'm not commenting on abortion,
Geraldo. Roe v. Wade and all the rest of it. This is baloney. You are this is all a plot to make abortion an issue, and it is just some people say Donald Trump is a stalking horse for Hillary Clinton. He's going to wreck the Republican Party because he has no chance of being elected. Abortion is another stalking horse for the Democrats. It fuels the whole war on woman thesis. It allows Democrats to say, see, the Eric Bollings of the world want to take away your right to choose.
Let me know.
That's what this does.
Once that I ever said that.
All right. I guess my veins were popping.
You don't normally watch it back or listen back.
So
I was fun to sort of watch you listening to it back. I mean, you said everything you wanted to say, right?
I was reliving. I did. And I had forgotten that I had made these points that I just made in my opening monologue last night in a very impassioned way. But I really believe that. All these videos do is force us to confront the harsh reality that abortion is always distasteful. I mean, nobody wants to think about what abortion really is, right? You don't want to think about it.
No.
It's hard to wrap our minds around abortion. That's why we hate it when the pro-life activists do things like show us those graphic blood-dripping pictures of the aborted fetuses. Remember when that was the big tactic, standing outside a public gathering with those horrifying pictures? And you look at them, you say, these nut jobs, you could turn your face away. But that's what, I mean, you got to, what's an abortion? It's a horrible thing. But that doesn't change the fact that a majority of Americans believe that abortion is a limited constitutional right, and it should stay that way. And now the Republicans totally suckered in. They're talking about they have to punish Planned Parenthood for providing these abortions for these awful videos, what they reveal, that they're selling these parts with a callous disregard and all the rest of it. And they're promising, and this is the rub, They're promising to shut down the government on September 30th when the funding runs out, unless Planned Parenthood is defunded. So they're going to shut the government down again. So here's the Republicans. They're not going to be on social issues. It's going to be about the economy. It's going to be about national security. It's going to be our competence and care. And they're going to shut the government down again. So September 30th, there will be John Boehner and Planned Parenthood, shut the government down unless you defund it. And the people of the United States are going to watch all these civil servants now getting paid holidays. The government's going to be shut down. You're not going to be able to get your driver's license, all that other stuff that you have to do, your passport and so forth. The Republicans are going to shut down the government again. And that's supposed to help because they're making the point that we think that what Planned Parenthood does is repugnant. They're being set up. For all the talk that the party wants to court the female vote to deflate the whole war on women propaganda, Republicans are falling into the trap of refighting a lost cause. Shutting governments down? Really? Trying to illegalize abortion from Planned Parenthood? Really? That's going to win you the woman's vote when the Democrats have a female candidate? They are giving it away. Giving it away because they are allowing their personal positions on abortion to intrude into their political good sense. I get it that you don't like it. You don't like it, you don't do it. But you don't try to impose on the other person what your personal values are. Not in America, not with the Supreme Court decision Roe v. Wade, 1973. You fight it every year you want to. You're going to lose it every year. What you do is your business. What they do is their business. Planned Parenthood, shame on them for their callous disregard. But I bet you if you went into the emergency room or into the coroner's office or to see GIs in combat and the way they talk about the dead and all the rest of it, and you had a secret video on that, about the callous disregard, you want to talk about that? I mean, it is regrettable. And I wish there was more sanctity involved here. But it is what it is. And for the Republicans now to seize on this as their issue, a big loser.
77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
Static and commercial engagement. In this period, Vietnam evolved from a country torn apart by violence into a dynamic society with one of the world's fastest growing economies.
This is the Secretary of State, John Kerry, making the first visit by a State Secretary to Cuba.
Normalization.
First visit of the U.S. Secretary of State to Cuba since 1945. 1945. History being made this day in Havana. Hundreds of Cubans gathered there at the new U.S. embassy, or the newly reopened Cuban embassy. They flooded the neighborhood with huge Cuban flags to show their feisty independence from the United States. But there is no doubt, I don't want to dwell on this, but there is no doubt Cuba will be changed a lot more by the United States than the United States will be changed by Cuba. As soon as they get cable TV and all the rest of it, you know, Pandora and Twitter.
Home Depot,
cell phones, iPhones, all the rest of it. Cuba will be changed dramatically. In the same way Vietnam was changed. It's going to happen. It has to happen. But what I'm talking about today is politics, specifically the politics of the Planned Parenthood scandal. I believe that for all the revulsion we feel about those videos, and we should, when we think about the profound nature of the whole process of abortion, we should be, awed and, humbled by it. It's a big deal, and too often it is treated as if it were, like a form of birth control and all the rest and regrettable and all the rest. But as you lamented, also understand that the political consequence of trying to shut down Planned Parenthood will be a great big negative for Republicans going forward. It will fuel the whole Democratic contention that all the GOP wants to do is strip women of their rights, including, and it was central to the women's movement for many decades, the right of a pregnant woman to choose whether to terminate the pregnancy or take it to term. there are limits, the limits imposed by Roe v. Wade, viability, all the rest of that. I don't want to really talk about that. I want to talk about politics today, the politics of abortion, the politics of some of these other social issues that will be coming up, immigration, maybe a little later in the program. But right now, let's start in Brooklyn with Gerard. Gerard, thank you very much for calling. What's on your mind, buddy?
I'm a conservative, okay? But I have no problem with abortion, and I'll explain to you why. If a kid is born unwanted, unloved, who's going to have to feed that kid, educate that kid, medicate that kid, take care of that kid?
You and me.
The conservatives don't want abortion, but yet they don't offer any plans about who's going to pay for the kid, who's going to take care of it. So as far as I'm concerned, if she wants an abortion, let her have it. It's her problem. She's got to deal with her own soul, okay, and her own decisions. But as far as I'm concerned, I don't want to pay for that kid. I don't want to pay for one night's happiness that she got. And then the taxpayers are burdened with taking care of that kid for the next 18 to 21 years. And God help you, you look at the statistics, you might even have to incarcerate that kid.
All right, I got you, Droid. I mean, Ben Carson made some controversial statements. He said that why are so many of the abortions performed on minority women? Is it, you know, he goes back and he has conspiracy notions that really give me a headache on how Planned Parenthood was, Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, was into eugenics, and she promoted the popularization of abortion as a means of controlling the black population. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I missed that in my history lesson. I'm not sure. But I do believe that in the same way Black Lives Matter is blind to when black people kill black people, I think that these in the abortion situation.
Day two in the Oval Office, I would hold a Camp David summit with our Arab allies, not to talk them into this lousy deal with Iran, but to say to them, what is it that you need to defeat ISIL? You know, Obama has presented the American people with a false choice every time. It's what I've done or not done, or it's war. It is a false choice.
All right, that's Carly Fiorina, who is on the undercard for the big debate a week ago Thursday. And yet she scored at least the second highest approval in terms of the viewers. Did you catch her?
No? I did. I thought she was excellent.
Very effective. And now, as a result, she's surging in many of the polls. I'll allow our next guest to identify her association with Carly Fiorina. It's something to do with the campaign, what role she will play. You remember her as the representative for the 19th district in the northern part of Westchester County. Congresswoman Nan Hayworth joins us. Hi, how you doing?
Good morning, Geraldo. I'm great. How are you?
Good. So where do you live now?
Well, I live in northern Westchester County in Bedford, New York, where I have for 26 years. And when Carly called me up, I actually met her last fall in New York City when she came to campaign with Rob Astorino, who was running for governor at that time. And I said, anything I can do for you, if you run for president, anything else, I'd love to help you. She called me in December, and that's how confident I was in Carly. Geraldo, in December, I said, absolutely, I will be delighted to do all I can to make sure that that you become our candidate.
If I ask you a why question, you're going to give me a campaign thing. I just want to know, early on, prior to that debate, where no one gave her a chance of even making a mark, she was in the like a one percentile, how did you decide to re-engage on such a long shot?
Well, you know what? I never thought she was a long shot. Truly, Geraldo, it is time for us to have a leader who truly challenges the status quo, whose background is one of enormous accomplishment in business, where she had to cut bloated bureaucracies, work with world leaders directly, where she knew technology. She understands technology thoroughly. And boy, oh boy, do we need that now. So I had great confidence in Carly from the start.
You know, Congresswoman Nan Hayworth, former congresswoman from northern Westchester, still living in the Bedford area, joins us. You ever run into your neighbors in Chappaqua, the Clintons?
I have not run into the Clintons in Chappaqua, no. But you know what? I certainly wish them well and a long and happy life in Chappaqua. I don't think that...
you want them to stay in Westchester.
Yeah, I don't think the secretary...
What lives in Westchester should stay in Westchester. Okay. Are they just raising the flag, just to have completed raising the flag in the embassy in Havana, Cuba. What do you think, Congresswoman, about the reestablishing relations with Cuba?
Well, I think that we should expect that Cuba will institute, as far as I know, the president did not require that Cuba institute significant measures to actually free the Cuban people from the burdens of the totalitarian state that have crushed their opportunities for decades. President Carly Fiorina would take a much more forceful stance and a much more productive stance toward making sure that we use.
I would debate on the productivity of such a hard stance, but that let's leave that for another day. What do you think of the impact politically of the Planned Parenthood scandal, Congresswoman Nan Haworth, on the, you know, the Democrats will say, see, they're trying to defund Planned Parenthood. They're going to threaten to close down the government. It's really a war on women. How do the Republicans fight the war on women thing?
The Republicans are actually fighting the war for women every day, and Carly Fiorina does it with more credibility probably than anyone else. There is no such thing as strictly a women's issue, as you know. Geraldo, the biggest women's issue, if you want to call it that, that we have is this terrible economy, which harms families, which harms small businesses, which are overwhelmingly owned by women. So what President Carly Fiorina will seek to do is to make sure that we lift burdens from these women, from these families, and from every citizen of the United States. So I see her presence in this race as proof that Republicans are here for every woman in the United States.
Congresswoman Nan Haworth, former congresswoman representing a fine congresswoman representing Northern Westchester, is our guest now. She is the de facto leader of Carly Fiorina's long shot, maybe not so long shot anymore, campaign for the nomination, the GOP nomination for president of the United States. You know, a lot of people, Congresswoman, talking about Carly Fiorina would be a terrific number two on the ticket, a far more capable person than, say, Sarah Palin, Governor Palin was the time before last with John McCain. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that as a more realistic possibility for the businesswoman who has done so well so far?
You know, Geraldo, when you look at Carly's rise in the polls after the first big test, if you will, of the entire Republican field, Carly Fiorina outperformed, I'm going to say, and join many others, every other member of that field, including those at the 9 o'clock debate. So is she a long shot? I submit, no, she's not. Should she be at the top of the ticket? Absolutely, and she is rising accordingly.
How would she vote on closing the government over the Planned Parenthood issue?
Carly Fiorina is someone who is a pragmatic leader as well as someone who seeks to challenge the status quo and, yes, honor the best of human potential. And I think that she has also said, I know she has said, that we have to have a thoughtful approach to all of these issues, a thoughtful national conversation.
Oh, Congresswoman, that's very political. I mean, I was trying to follow the thread there, but I kind of lost my frame of thought there.
I don't think she's going to seek to shut down the federal government.
You don't think she'd be a government shutter downer?
I really doubt that very much.
What do you think of Trump?
Does she? Well, Mr. Trump has certainly been a very vivid and energizing presence in this race. He has been kind to me and many other folks here in New York over the years, New York Republicans.
He's a great guy. Got to face it. He's a great guy.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, I disagree with so many of his issues, but I just can't get over the fact that I like the guy.
Well, I think, you know, they've got a big opportunity to test each other's ideas.
What about a Trump Fiorina ticket?
Well, you know, again, I think a Fiorina Trump ticket sounds great.
Okay. It's great to talk to you again, Congresswoman Nan Haworth. How you been otherwise?
I've been well. Thanks, Geraldo. Supporting friends throughout the Hudson Valley, including Assemblyman Karen Lala, who's a fellow co-chair for Carly for America in New York. We've got great opportunities in this wonderful state to do great things. You work hard on that every day. I appreciate your voice in this.
Well, I hope you have a great rest of summer in the beautiful part of the world there in Bedford.
And you too. Thank you.
Okay. Congresswoman Nan Haworth, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. All right, so what are you thinking, folks? I know that some have been on the line. Let me take a stranger. Here, in Bradley Beach, here's Bob. Hey, Bob, what's up? What are you thinking about?
How you doing, Araldo? First thing on this Planned Parenthood thing, you quote Roe v. Wade, and my understanding of that legislation was that abortion was supposed to be the procedure of last resort. And that
it doesn't state that in the decision, but make your point.
Well, so in other words, that is another piece of legislation that's bastardized over the years.
Right, it's a Supreme Court decision, but go ahead, Bob. You think it's been taken too far?
Oh, my God. I mean, anybody that doesn't, I think, is a fool. And my second point is, and it's something I heard on one of the talk radio shows, I thought it was a good point, don't completely defund Planned Parenthood, but I think take half of it away, and next to every Planned Parenthood center, put in a women's pregnancy and maybe adoption center so that every woman understands that there are options. It's not, doesn't always have to be abortion or nothing else.
Well, you know, Planned Parenthood swears, and they make their books available, that every penny they get from the federal government or state governments goes to things like contraception and women's health issues, and that abortion specifically, according to Planned Parenthood, Bob, whether you buy it or not, is funded privately. You don't think that is legit?
I buy very little right now about what's coming out of Planned Parenthood.
All right, buddy. I appreciate the call. You know, the problem is old guys, it's almost like we shouldn't even be able to talk about the issue in a sense. I mean, it's almost like young men are in favor of abortion because they need it. Old men, it's irrelevant to their personal lives. So it's like sending kids to war when you're 60, 70 years old. Yeah, we're going to fight them. We're going to fight them on the beaches. We're going to fight them in the alleys. We're going to fight them. We're going to take the bayonets. We're going to charge. Yeah, you're 60 years old. You know who's going to go is your grandson. You know, and it's same thing with abortion. When you're 18 years old and you're alone and you haven't told your parents and you're pregnant from a one-night stand from a guy you don't know his name, that something happened. Or maybe you got raped in a date rape. Or maybe it was some relative, some gross, grotesque relative. That's the person who I want to tell me whether or not a woman should have the right to choose. 47 minutes after 10 o'clock. I'll take Frank first before I go. Stay there. In New Jersey, Frank's online. What's up, man?
Yeah, hi. You know, I love to vote for Carly, and I love to vote for women. I live in New Jersey, but I'm very disappointed with women politicians and your previous guest speaker because they all seem to appear to only support women. At least the men support women, but the women politicians, 90% of the time they're making laws that negatively affect men, and I'm sick of it. It's chauvinism.
Good point. Good point, Frank. I'm going to ask you now, as a Jersey voter, what do you think of Chris Christie, and do you think he should resign?
I'm involved with statewide, not local, Tea Party stuff. I'm a Constitution Party person, so I've been around the block. He's what I call a lukewarm, do-nothing Republican, so I don't support him at all.
Who do you support, Frank?
Well, Trump is good. Walker is good because he walked the talk. He did a lot in Wisconsin. And I do like Carly, but not if she's going to be a female chauvinist. I think it disrespects the voter, even women, and it makes us globally look like idiots. We shouldn't vote for people because of who they are. We should vote for them because of what they are and what they're going to do and if they're going to be statesmen or women.
Okay, Frank, appreciate the call. Thank you. Good call, Smart. 49 minutes after 10 o'clock. Please be patient to get to your calls. They really are intense and wonderful. I want to get to them. Donald Trump is saying something today that is very interesting, and I'm sure that this will affect my appearance on The Five today. I'm sure it'll be our top topic, you know, the Hillary email scandal, which I believe is going to go no place. I mean, that's my personal opinion. Trump totally disagrees. He says that I hear this thing is big league, he said, about the email controversy. And here's a quote from Trump. You know what she was doing? She was guarding from the president seeing what she was doing. That's what Trump says. But what I say to Trump, as I said to my colleagues on The Five, and I say to everybody listening right now, that's not a crime. That's not a crime. You need an intent to disseminate secret information to someone not qualified, not cleared to receive it. Impossible to prove under these circumstances. It's impossible to prove. But what Trump is saying is, he's saying that this is so big, this is Trump today, that he is predicting that he will not face Hillary Clinton in the 2016 presidential election. Rather, he will face, you answer,
Joe Biden.
Exactly.
Yeah, not happening.
Trump says that he's going to face Joe Biden. Not happening. Yeah. Absolutely not happening. And if it happened, nobody's going to vote for Joe Biden. I mean, I love Joe Biden.
He's not running, though. He's not going to run.
And, you know, and no one even thought, and I don't want to be harsh about it, but no one really thought about Joe Biden again until the death, the tragic death of Beau, who purportedly told his father, "Dad, give it one more try," and which was a very touching story. And if that is accurately reported, I could see what would be motivating the vice president of the United States, Joe Biden, to ponder whether to do it a third time, run again. But having seen him in 88 and then in 08, he gets nothing. He gets nothing. What'd say, Marty? I don't know. All right.
I think they were just telling you have a minute.
Just tell me I have a minute. Okay. I just think that that is not going to happen. So let me take a quick Stu in New Jersey. What's up, Stu?
How much? How you doing?
Good, man. Thanks for calling.
You're welcome. Listen, I've been listening to you since day one you took over for Joe Crummy. And a lot of times with these contentious issues, eventually, when you become exasperated with the callers, you say a certain segment shouldn't even speak on whatever topic it is that you agree with or disagree with, and the callers...
Enough about the review. What's the point, Stu?
The point is you try and shut down debate a lot if people disagree with you.
That's not...
Shouldn't talk about something. This group shouldn't talk about something. And that's what I hear, and I've been listening since day one.
Well, I appreciate the fact that you're listening from day one. I do. I really do. I'll be right back after this.
The abortion part of Planned Parenthood is bad. You got to stop them. Let them reopen as Planned Parenthood 2 and don't provide the services and then give them taxpayer
money.
That's
your opinion, dude. The Planned Parenthood is bad because you're against abortion. No, said it was a life-altering. You said it was a life-altering experience.
Can you not do this
you
again
You said it was
today.
A life-altering
can you
experience.
Not do this again today?
It was, it's not a life-altering experience.
I'm not
experience.
Commenting on abortion,
you're against,
Geraldo.
You are talking
no,
about
No, I'm
abortion.
Not. I'm commenting on
so what
selling
is a, what
body
is a good
parts.
Abortion to you?
Do you know the difference between what Planned Parenthood
is? What is a good abortion, Eric? What is it?
A good abortion
is what?
Saves the mother's life.
You know what a good abortion is? A good abortion is in a clean place where the woman's health is protected as opposed to a back alley, where the woman dies with some butcher cutting her to pieces. Why do you think we got this?
I'm commenting on abortion,
Geraldo. Roe v. Wade and all the rest of it. This is baloney. You are this is all a plot to make abortion an issue, and it is just, some people say Donald Trump is a stalking horse for Hillary Clinton. He's going to wreck the Republican Party because he has no chance of being elected. Abortion is another stalking horse for the Democrats. It fuels the whole war on woman thesis. It allows Democrats to say, see, the Eric Bollings of the world want to take away your right to choose.
Let me know.
That's what this does.
Once did I ever said that.
All right, that was last night on The Five. It was quite emotional. I had not heard it until we played it at the top of the 10 o'clock hour, but it was quite a stunning emotional confrontation with my friend and colleague, Eric Bowen.
Well, it's funny. So you call him friend and colleague, but people always ask me this.
My friend and me and colleague.
Yeah, because people always say, is it real? And I said, it is 100% real when you're having those arguments with people. But last night was, I thought, was a little more intense than it usually is. So tell me
what... I was shocked that I lost it there. I mean, I didn't lose it. I mean, I didn't stray from my editorial point.
In fact, and he gave up on his end.
I don't even know where the passion came from. I haven't really given it much thought. I mean, like I said, when I see an anti-abortion activist holding up those graphic images of a fetus, I can't even look at it. It seems to me to be so grossly distasteful. But the fact of the matter is, it is depicting a process that is distasteful when you think about what abortion is. It's definitely a human life is being taken there. I don't care. It's not a wart, and it's not a bunch of tissue. It's a human life, particularly after the heart starts beating. I mean, 20 weeks or so.
You know, I wouldn't be doing my job as a journalist or the people who ask me this question. So what does happen when the cameras go off? Because it's real.
You mean in terms of the five in that?
Yeah, you're sitting next to Eric Bolling. He's just kind of dismissed you and saying, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
Do you converse with him during the commercial break? And do you converse with him at the end of the show even?
You know, sometimes, and Eric does this very well. Sometimes he says, are you okay?
Oh, he does.
Like that.
So he asked you that during the break yesterday?
I don't remember if he did it yesterday, but he's done it. And we've had a few of these encounters. And I don't know what it is particularly about him that generates my...
Well, I have some ideas. I won't say it on the air.
But look at Sean Hannity.
Right.
Sean Hannity has the same ideas
as Eric. Sean is a different animal.
He's so lovable.
He's such a nice guy.
Yeah. I mean, I feel about Sean Hannity. I may have said this on top. I feel about Sean Hannity the same way I feel about Donald Trump. I mean, when you add up their position on various issues, I mean, there's nothing in common. And yet, I would embrace both of them, hang out with both of them, go on vacation with both of them. They're welcome in my home. I'd be welcome in there. You know, it's just weird that, you know, that is where we are coming here. Now, Hillary Clinton is someone whose politics are much more in sync with mine. And yet, you know, I don't want to say anything insulting about the former Secretary of State and all the rest of it, but it's just I wouldn't be hanging out at a bar and having a beer with Hillary Clinton.
But with Bill.
With Bill, I would.
Yeah.
With Bill, I would. He's not running for anything.
No.
Not right now. And Bill, you know, it's funny, like, and with Trump, too. You know, there's kind of a shared experience with people of a certain age, that the very, very early baby boomer, or even before the baby boomer, in my case, I'm more of a traditionalist. I was born during the war. I mean, you've gone through so many different incarnations. You talk about abortion. You talk about abortion in the 2000 and teens. It's like a whole different thing than talking about abortion in the 1960s. I mean, in the 1960s, you know how you got an abortion in New York in the 1960s?
It was illegal then.
Illegal. You had to be somehow mob connected. They would hook you up with an old lady in Brooklyn someplace, and she'd squirt some bleach or whatever the poison is into the pregnant woman and hope that it would naturally... I mean, it was horrible. And if that didn't work, what do you think they got the whole thing with the wire hangers? That's how desperate, single, poor women aborted the fetus when they knew they couldn't... They would stick a wire hanger into the uterus to cause the fetus to abort. I mean, even to think about it, I gag. You think about how did we come to Roe v. Wade? How did we get to a place where this distasteful, this so controversial, and if you're a religious person, remember, my dad was a deacon in the Catholic Church, for goodness sakes. My cousin is a minister in this. I mean, this is a real emotional thing for people who have a certain belief system. For everybody, I don't care what you believe. You could be you could be a guru, whatever it is. If you ponder, it is a very, very big deal. And the state has decided in this terrible balancing act between the host, the pregnant woman, and the emerging human inside her, that at a certain point, the essence of the Supreme Court decision is that at a certain point, the equity, the privacy of the pregnant woman takes backseat to the rights of the emerging fetus human growing inside her. At a certain point in the pregnancy, that happens. Usually, it's described as viability. In Roe v. Wade, I think they used the expression viability. And in those days, it meant at the point in the pregnancy where the unborn child could survive if independent of the pregnant woman. In other words, if you took it out, would the baby live? That's viability. And I think that as technology increases and we get better skilled at it, that age in the gestation period will continue to shrink. It'll be in the 20s in the terms of the weeks. It'll, you know, Republicans want no abortion after 20 weeks. I don't know, but something like it will, there will be an accommodation in that regard where the rights of the unborn will gradually be expanded at the detriment of the pregnant woman. I mean, her rights will shrink as the unborn child's rights expand with technology. But as of right now, viability is the test. The vast majority of abortions are performed at 3 months, before 3 months, certainly before 4 months, plenty of time, should be plenty of time. I think it's grotesque. These partial birth abortions are grotesque, horrified by them. Late-term abortions, what the hell were you doing for 7 months, 8 months, you didn't know that you were pregnant. I mean, come on. You know, at a certain point, you lose your rights. You forfeit your rights, in my opinion. But it's a very, very contentious issue. It's a very, very
difficult. So what do they do? So what if you're a Republican or a Democrat, for that matter, because there's on both sides who are anti-abortion, you don't just lie down and say, I'm not going to fight this battle anymore if it's that important to you. So does it not become, is it no longer on the Republican platform because that's the only way Republicans can win the White House? Do you then give up on that?
It is a sad state of affairs, and you correctly pointed out that because of who it is who are the activists within the GOP, that it will be on the Republican Party platform again. I guarantee it, just like it always has been. We are against abortion except for rape or incest. I don't know what qualifications they'll put in.
But it's not gay marriage, you know, where somebody says, all right, gay marriage, fine, they can get married. This is for people who are strongly believe this way, it's killing babies.
You're right. They're going to put it on the platform again, and it's going to cost them the election again. Between immigration and Hispanics and women and abortion, they're going to lose. The Republicans are going to, we are going to lose again. Because we're not going to focus on the economy, not going to focus on national security. We're not going to focus on character or competence. We're going to focus on these issues. Like, abortion will be the litmus test. Immigration will be the litmus test. I mean, could I vote for someone who wants to massively deport 11 million undocumented immigrants? Come on. How am I going to shave? I'd have to shave in the dark so I didn't look at myself in the mirror. There's some things I can't do. I like Mitt Romney. I said I endorsed. Remember, I was had a Rens Priebus. The RNC chairman was on the phone the day before elections.
I remember.
And I said, because I could have waited until after the election to admit that I was going to vote for Obama. I did it the day before because I wanted him to know, because he had been on the program plenty of times and he had done us the right thing by coming on the program, Rens Priebus, the head of the Republican National Committee. I said, Rens, you know, I totally endorse Mitt Romney's economic platform over Barack Obama, President Obama's. But I have to tell you that because of gay marriage, because of immigration, and because of abortion, I have to vote for the Democrat again. You give me no choice. Some people can hold their nose, and even like my friend Leo, he's like a businessman guy, my friend lawyer for 50 years. He's like a businessman guy. So he holds his nose because he's a libertarian. He holds his nose and lets the social issues people do whatever they're going to do, the crazy stuff that they're going to do, or the principal stuff, however you regard it. And he says, no, I'm voting for the Republicans because the taxes are going to be lower, regulation will be less onerous, the military will be stronger. You know, they rationalize. We Wall Street Journal-type Republicans rationalize why we vote Republican oftentimes. But it's not a winner nationally.
Well, but there's no middle ground on abortion. That's the problem.
There,
you know,
I submit
is there,
to you,
unless there's something I don't know about.
The middle ground will be, as I described, if a Democrat says, like, partial birth abortions. I mean, why do we need a partial birth abortion?
No.
I mean, what's the point? You got to have the baby, you know, come on. You know, I mean, fool. That's a sloppy, unless there's something like the unborn child's going to explode or and kill her or something. You know, I don't know. I think that the Democrats have to be far more sensitive. Planned Parenthood must be chastised for this insensitivity. These grotesque videos cannot be ignored completely, however heavily edited they might have been, however illegal they were in the obtaining of the video. You can't have an organization that purports to represent the rights of women talking about fetal remains as if they were shoe leather. You know, you can't. You can't expect people not to be outraged by it. But Planned Parenthood is, you know, and Eric said it, Planned Parenthood is much more than that. You know, I don't think that they're going to meaningfully alter the setup. In fact, the federal government has said to two of the states, Louisiana and Alabama, I believe, that because they tried to defund Planned Parenthood state money, they said, listen, dudes, if you want Medicare money, Medicaid money, you have to, this is a legitimate provider, and if you ignore them, you're going to lose, you're going to be penalized. So I think that Alabama and Louisiana be brought back into line. But there's going to be, they've got to be chastised by Democrats, by Hillary Clinton. She has to say, not about the illegality of the videotaping, not about the heavily editing. She has to say, I regret deeply that this was the portrayal and that this portrays a reality that we lament and promise to advocate a remedy for it. We promise that won't be Planned Parenthood going forward. I hope they do that. We don't need this. 25 minutes after 11 o'clock, did you see the front page of the New York Post, the cover of the New York Post, Sharon Stone?
How could I miss it? Yeah. She looks fantastic.
Yeah, 57 years old. She looks fine. You know, it's like, it made me think of my own naked picture. We should put a two-shot up there.
Well, you know what it shows? That if you take care of yourself.
If you take care of yourself.
Your body will look like that.
What yeah. I didn't know, and it's Harper's Bazaar, I guess, the Post got the pictures from. She said she had a brain aneurysm in 2001 that caused some damage.
Yeah, she said it's made her, what was the word she used? She's
abrasive.
Abrasive, yeah. Maybe that's why she's not getting dates.
I guess. But, man, she looks great. 57-year-old. All right, so enough about
we could keep talking about
flight of fancy. Let's reel that one in. Okay, you know what the topic is, and I've left some of you hanging for an awfully long time, including Mark. In Edison. Mark, I apologize for my tardiness getting to your call. What's on your mind, buddy?
Okay. Well, initially I heard you talking Planned Parenthood, and I know that's happened. I'm what I call a reluctant pro-choicer, and what I'd like to know about Planned Parenthood is my understanding is when you do sell these body parts or whatever, is, you know, you're not allowed to make a profit. And the thing I question...
Right, that's true. That is the law. You're not allowed to profit on the sale of fetal remains. Right.
Then what I question is, and this is based on those tapes to an extent, is what's wrong with investigating if indeed that's what they're doing or that's what they're not doing? In other words, if they indeed are selling for a profit, that's a problem. They're violating the law. On the other hand, if it's shown that it's strictly recovery, which I'm a little doubtful of, but that's irrelevant, then they're not violating the law. I agree.
But here's the rub, Mark. And I agree, and a very, very smart call. The problem is what you do not want is for Planned Parenthood to be investigated, quote unquote, by the hatchet job congressional committee that went after, say, Eric Holder and Fast and Furious. You don't want politicians investigating. You want, like, the Department of Justice now, the people looking at the Hillary Clinton emails. You want some sober, impartial, fair-minded person to determine whether or not there's been a violation or not. Not a politician whose whole agenda is shutting down Planned Parenthood because they're anti-abortion. I think that's the problem. You agree with that?
I tend to agree with that. I think the problem I have is when you're talking the Justice Department, now you have maybe the other side of the issue, which is the quote, Democratic side, which seems to believe in it. So they would seem to have their own interest.
Their own bias. I get that. Nobody's perfect, but at least it'd be better than an opposite party politician looking. Mark, appreciate the goal. Looking for headlines. Okay, you know, this. I just want to mention in terms of the Hillary Clinton emails, because I am going to be discussing. I think it'll be the lead tonight on the five. There's two emails at issue that are purportedly top secret that she promulgated or communicated to someone purportedly in violation of the Secrets Act. When you examine what the emails were, the two of them, one is having to do with the CIA drone program that targets the terrorists in Pakistan and elsewhere. Everyone knows about the secret program. It's been often reported on it. And the email talks about the drone program, talks about reporting about the drone program. It seems pretty benign to me, is my point. And if this is the best they have, this is going to be like another Benghazi with the BS stand down order that never happened. It's going to be a big bunch of nothing. It will erode Hillary Clinton's essential believability, trustworthiness, whatever you call it, because it is another thing. But it's going to amount to a hill of beans. It's nothing there. This is, if that's the best they have, a communication about an article about a secret program that people have been writing about as long as the secret program has been existing. I mean, you know about the, you know, they use drones. And they announced that so-and-so, Abdul so-and-so got blown up. You know, this is going nowhere. It's just exciting a lot of conservatives because there's a they think it's a gotcha moment, and it's really just more of the same. Another, I mean, who's it going to be? Daryl Issa, the used car salesman, who's going to be Trey Gowdy, his henchman, going to be looking at Hillary Clinton's emails? Come on. She's not sexting. Petty learning to fly, but no wings. Like all these schmucks with these drones. Curtis Lee, we came on yesterday with a sliced neck. Scary.
Yeah.
I told you how my nephew got a drone in the forehead on holiday in Michigan. They're everywhere. All these pilots now talking about drones.
And you got the pilots at the airports who were saying that just in the last couple of days we saw them saying that the drones were flying way too close to the airport.
It's just going to get worse. They're getting cheaper. They're easier to operate, apparently. People are using them, for instance, in coverage of the wildfires going on in California now. But the chopper pilots and the others who are dropping, the flame retardant on the blaze are complaining that everybody's got a drone with a camera in their face. So what are you going to do about this? I want to, I had mentioned just tangentially the email, the Hillary Clinton email about the drones in South Asia. But the more relevant aspect of drones today is going to be they're going to be privacy in your backyard, and then the safety issue with aircraft and so forth. Steve Pope, senior editor of Flying Magazine, my goodness, welcome on board. I hadn't intended to talk about this, but after Curtis got his throat slit the other day by a drone, I'm thinking that maybe you guys, particularly in your esteemed publication that's been around for a long time, talking about aviation and flying specifically, I mean, this is a whole brave new world for you guys. How do you editorially, first, welcome to the program. How do you, Steve Pope, senior editor of Flying Magazine, what are you thinking about drones?
Yeah, that's an incredible story with Curtis Iheraldo. It's a really big concern for our readership. It's a big concern, really, for pilots everywhere and for the traveling public as well. I mean, you think about it. People are out flying these drones. Like you say, there's been all kinds of sightings around the just in New York of commercial airline pilots saying that they've spotted drones on approach coming into Kennedy, coming into Newark and into LaGuardia. And, think about it, one of those drones going into an engine on a commercial airline full of passengers, that's a big deal. And as you mentioned, the wildfires out west, that's a huge deal. And
so what do you do? How do you regulate it? Where do you draw the line can't you buy them in like Target? You can buy them almost anywhere now, can't you?
Yeah, you can buy them anywhere. And the problem is the people who are buying these drones, they don't understand that there are very clear federal regulations concerning where and how you can operate these aircraft. For example, you can't lift off 5 feet into the air in New York City, so you're in Central Park, without being in violation of the federal law, which because you're in the airspace of New York, you really need to be, talking to...
Oh, wait a second. So you say that drones are illegal in New York City?
Technically, they are. I think if you were flying one, 5 feet off the ground, probably no one would bother you. But look, if you're going to go and fly them, off of Jones Beach and get into the flight pattern for Kennedy, then absolutely people are going to want to come after you and you could be in big trouble. As a matter of fact, the FAA just this week, they came out with an outreach program called Know Before You Fly. And it was an educational outreach program for people who are flying drones to let them know, hey, you can't fly above 400 feet. You can't fly in the vicinity of airports. You can't use them for a commercial purpose unless you have a specific waiver from the FAA. But that wasn't working. Just this week in Fresno, California, on Wednesday, there was a medevac helicopter pilot who came within 15 feet of a drone. He was flying at 1,000 feet coming from the mountains with a patient on board and two flight nurses, and he had to make a violent turn to get out of the way of this drone. So the FAA finally said they've had enough of it. They announced this week they're cracking down. And I think it's really important for the people who are listening to your program to understand this. The FAA said that they're going to be pursuing people who fly drones, unauthorized and illegal flights, and that if you get caught, you will face.
Well, why don't they ban? Why don't they ban them?
Even prison time.
I mean, if you sell them, they're going to use them. I mean, I just don't understand that. This is going to, you know, there's a commercial. Isn't there a commercial like 1,000 drones, like Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds, 1,000 drones following you everywhere? I mean, that's the future. It's horrible. It's horrible.
Yeah, well, you know, and if you go into a store and you buy a gun, you know, and then you use it in an illegal way, you're going to go to jail. And it's, you know, it's the same thing. There's also these lasers, these high-powered laser pointers. People are pointing.
Yeah, my cousin represented the schmuck who did it at LaGuardia, you know, and they thought he was a terrorist. He's actually just a schmuck. But they pled that case out. But you're going to have a lot of this crazy stuff.
If you go to Walmart and you buy a drone and you fly it in your yard or you fly it responsibly and don't fly it high and you're not going over your neighbor's house and you know, filming.
But what's the fun if you're not doing that?
Yeah. Then you're okay. Then you're operating these drones in a responsible way, and that's perfectly fine.
Well, but like flying a kite. I mean, that's fine. But I really think that we'll be talking much more. Steve, I got to run, but I appreciate it. Steve Pope, senior editor of Flying Magazine. Thank you very much for coming on, man.
Okay. Thanks, Roldo.
I want to use the last 15 minutes to go back to something we were talking about yesterday, because I was really thinking about it. I rode my bike, and I do a lot of thinking on my bike when I'm not dodging cats. I know that you don't want me regale you my tales of commuting, but I was thinking again about Legionnaire's disease. I mean, because I spent so much time in the Bronx, and, you know, I worked there with Alexander's. When I was a lawyer for the Young Lords, Lincoln Hospital was a big protest location, you know, that's where many of the people in the Bronx were treated at Lincoln Hospital. That's why I made that connection. But if it were in Manhattan, I just come back to the borough, the discrimination of the boroughs. If it had happened in Manhattan, if 12 people had died in the borough of Manhattan, where real estate is so precious, where the feeling people have about their security, about their investment, all those things trigger chain reactions that are, you know, millions, tens of millions of dollars are involved. If all of a sudden there's a panic, you know, having to do with real estate or people and disease being spread and all the rest of it. Look at the reaction to the Ebola scare when it happened. And to see how the city of New York responded to this crisis in such a lethargic way, and how once the people started dying, it didn't dominate the headlines of the news. It was really about Trump and this or that. It wasn't in your face the way it would. If there had been 12 people dead in Manhattan, I just come back to this, it would have been the biggest story of the year. And you would have had planes diverting. You would have had people scrambling everywhere. Private school students, if they were in summer school, would have been walking around with masks on. The fact that it happened in the Bronx, the poor Bronx, the Bronx, no thanks. You know, it was just, I just can't get over that. And shame on Mayor de Blasio. I mean, Scott Stringer, the city controller, now obviously he's a member of the de Blasio administration, but he's not one of the de Blasio kind of henchmen. Remember, we wanted Elliot Spitzer to be the controller, and I think he would have done a great job. But anyways, Stringer's okay. So he went on John Gambling Show, and he said, the bottom line is that the city didn't scramble the planes fast enough. You can't hope for the best and assume things are isolated cases. Responding quickly to a fatal infectious disease outbreak should be the government's top priority. Duh.
Yeah.
Duh. I mean, of course it should be the government's top priority. And to see de Blasio's response to it, I know he's trying to slap down the criticism and all the rest of it, but to see that tepid response.
Well, and the thing that makes me even more angry about it is he was elected as being the guy who was going to represent the people who are voiceless. And in the Bronx are the poorest people in New York State, right? The poorest community in New York State is in the South Bronx. And guess what? They're voiceless. And guess what happened? They were voiceless when Legionnaires came. 12 deaths, 100 and whatever was 15. People, whatever the number is now, yeah, of people came down with it. And you're right. It never would have happened.
And you are reporting that it's not the cooling towers after all?
Well, we don't know.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. Do a little more research.
Here on 77 WABC, Geraldo along with Noam Layden. Noam is going to tell us that it is or is not the cooling towers that are the source of Legionnaires'
disease. There's this report out today, or actually came out yesterday, that was suggesting that it was water from the shower heads in some of these hospitals and faucets that might contain the Legionella,
well, how the
Legionella
hell,
bacteria.
Every shower head? What are you going to do? You're supposed to put disinfectant in your shower head now?
Well, you asked an excellent question. I don't know the answer to that. But what I do wonder is yesterday the city council unanimously passed this bill that requires inspections and cleanings of cooling towers. Are they going after the wrong thing? Maybe they should be checking out these. According to this report done by the government, it's not locally. It's a federal report that came out saying that now they're wondering whether it's these showers, these nursing home showers, and not the outdoor cooling tower. So I think the conclusion here is they don't really know.
119 cases, 12 deaths, all in the Bronx, so no one cares. We care. We're going to stay on this. And I swear to God, Mayor de Blasio, shame on you that the borough president, Ruben Diaz Jr., had to go to Albany and Andrew Cuomo to get help in the Bronx. 12 dead? Imagine if it was Manhattan. Ladies and gentlemen, just imagine. Okay. So we'll stay on the Legionnaires story. We were talking about drones earlier. I don't have time for many calls there, but let me just take in Rumson. Let me take Art, who's been holding on. Thank you for your patience. Art, what's on your mind, buddy?
Hey, good morning, Araldo. Listen, one thing that they could possibly do is license all the drones like they do guns because they are so dangerous.
That's a fine idea. I mean, that's a fine idea. I don't know. Maybe if they were, like in Italy, we were at this courtyard in Verona where they were shooting up these little, it was glowing in the dark. They came down, there were parachutes. Kids loved it. I mean, that right, little kind right. of stuff is one thing. But when you have a machine capable of going 5,000 feet in the air, I mean, you're right. They should have a license for it.
That's correct. Secondly, what they should do is put a tracking device on each one so that if they do go up into a plane's flight path, they can be tracked, and the people that have the license for that particular unit can be taken to court.
We have that on boats, actually. They have radar repeaters. You're absolutely right. That's a good idea. They have radar repeaters that, appreciate the caller, that enhance the signal, so little boats, because we're below the eye level of the guy on the bridge of a big ship, little sailboat. The radar repeaters, generally in the mast, the highest point of the small boat, they put out a very powerful reflection of the radar signal. And I think certainly that's the least they could do is do something like that. Okay, well, it was a fun show. I mean, emotional in some ways. We had an interesting ride. Who's the guest that's been monitoring?
Oh, this is my niece who's in from London, Noah.
Hiya, Noah. But you're a Noah, but you're a girl.
Yes, I am.
So what do you want to be when you grow up? Well, you're a senior now.
Yeah.
Okay, good luck.